Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Exodus chapter number 14. Look with me in verse number 15 for the sake of time. We'll just read that one verse. The Bible said this, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Father, I love you tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Father, as we look into your word tonight. God, may we get understanding from it. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, that you give us clarity of thought and clarity of speech tonight. God, may your will and way be done in the service, and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Again, I want to begin or continue looking at this thought that we've looked at now for a week or two on moving forward or going forward. Now, I've said this several different times, and I'll say it again tonight, that the will of God for our lives and the will of God for Amazing Grace Baptist Church is not that we sit still, but that we move forward, that we continue in the right direction. You say, well, preacher, if we're sitting still, we're not losing ground. Well, my mentality to that is this: if you're not gaining ground, you are losing ground. And God, I understand that there's times when, even in this passage that he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God did tell them to do that, but also God told them to move forward. And I understand that there is times that we are patiently waiting upon the Lord. But at the same time, may we never get to a place where we are just constantly sitting still and not moving forward. God has a plan for our church. God has a path for our church. And I don't know about you, but I want to walk in His plan, in His path. I don't want to get behind Him, and I don't want to be ahead of Him. I want to be right in tune with the Lord when it comes to moving forward in our church. I want to say this to you as a Sunday school teacher tonight. You should have a desire to move forward as a Sunday school teacher. Can I say this to you as a nursery worker tonight? You should have a desire to make that nursery the very best it could. And can I just say this to you tonight? If you look around at a few of these ladies, we're moving forward in the nursery. Amen. We've got three fixing to have babies in the church. Praise God. We're going forward there. But in a Sunday school, we should want to move forward. The Sunday school teacher, you shouldn't be satisfied with where you're at in your class. You should want to grow your class, not just spiritually, but you should want to grow your class in numbers tonight. You say, well, preacher, it's not all about numbers. I understand that it's not all about numbers, but if you don't have numbers, you have nobody to teach to. You have nobody to preach to. So God's will for us is that we move forward. I mentioned a couple of these things. Abraham dreamed of a great nation when he was yet childish. Childless Moses envisioned a free people when Israel was still making bricks without straw. Joshua envisioned an occupied land. David dreamed of a temple on a hill. Nehemiah built miles of walls in his prayers when he cried out to God in chapter number 1 before chapter 6 ever come. You remember what the Bible said in the book of Proverbs? Here's what he said in Proverbs chapter number 29, verse number 28. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I want to ask you this question tonight. What is your vision for our church? You say, well, preacher, I vision coming back Wednesday night and sitting on a pew. It should be way more than that. You say, well, preacher, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not this. I'm not that. You're part of the church. There's no, amen, there's no big I's and little U's at the church, and each one of us should have a vision for what God wants in our church. And I really believe in all of my heart, God will instill that vision in the pastor, and the pastor will help you with that, but we should have a vision for our church and what our church is doing. I thought about this. Here's some questions that usually come up when you begin talking about moving forward. When you begin talking about going forward, when you begin talking about a vision and watching God work and seeing God do great things, here's a lot of times questions that come up. What will happen? What will happen? Here's another one that comes up. What problems are around the corner? What? Well, preacher, you know, if we do this, we might have a problem. Preacher, if we do that, we might have a problem. Preacher, it's all right right now. What victories will we enjoy? What defeat will we endure? Will we enjoy? What defeat will we endure? All of these come up when we begin to look at going forward. But I say to you again, us backing up. God is interested in us doing these two words, go forward. That's what God told Moses to tell the children of Israel. And God is interested in Amazing Grace Baptist Church moving forward in 2020. The children of Israel. And God is interested in Amazing Grace Baptist Church moving forward in 2021. He's interested in our visitation moving forward. He's interested in our missions moving forward. He's interested in every aspect of our church moving forward in 2021. Going forward. Here's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Going forward, the diligent attack. The diligent attack. You'll remember the other Wednesday night, by way of introduction leading into this, I talked about the problems that the children of Israel faced. You see, any time that we decide to move forward, any time that we decide to do something for God, matter of fact, I got a text message today from a preacher, and he said, hey, I need you to pray for me. He said, the church is having a meeting tonight, and all I know is it's something to do with me. He said, that's all I know. And he said, would you please help me pray that everything will be all right. I said, I promise you I'll help you pray, preacher. You text me after service tonight and let me know how it goes. God has begun to work in that church and move in that church. And you know what? I hope everything goes good in that meeting tonight. I really believe that preacher's where it's supposed to be. But you know what? It may not. Because Jack Kyle said this, if you've got people, you've got problems. If you got people, you've got problems. That's just the way it is tonight. The other day, Brother Matt called me and was talking to me, and we was talking back and forth, and we got off the phone, and Miss Leslie said, well, what's wrong? I said, no, there ain't nothing wrong. I said, we worked on some cows and done some plumbing. I guess everything's all right. But in her mind... the devil had already crawled in, and there was a problem, and worked on some cows and done some plumbing. I guess everything's all right. But in her mind, the devil had already crawled in, and there was a problem in the church. I want to say something to you tonight. In moving forward, there will be times that you face problems. And I want to say something to you tonight. Anybody can quit. Let me back up and say that again. Anybody can quit. I remember whenever we started Bible college, I remember Daddy standing out in front of everybody, and here's what he said. Anybody can quit. It takes absolutely zero effort to quit. Quitters are a dime a dozen. Don't be a quitter. Can I say something to you tonight? As I stand before you as your pastor, when it comes to the service of God, when it comes to being faithful to God, when it comes to moving forward and the things that will fail, give us the stickability in the midst of adversity to stand strong in what God has for us as we move forward. As we move forward, the diligent attack. You know the story here in Exodus chapter number 14. I've read it several times, and going through this, I just didn't take time to do it tonight. You know the story. The children of Israel has now left Egypt's land. They're on their way to move forward. The diligent attack. You know the story here in Exodus chapter number 14. I've read it several times, and going through this, I just didn't take time to do it tonight. You know the story. The children of Israel has now left Egypt's land. They're on their way to Canaan's land, and they began to face this first battle, and it's right here at the Red Sea. God has delivered them out. God's given them a man, Moses, to lead the way. And they've given them a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, a representation of the Holy Spirit of God to lead them the way. And now they come to the Red Sea. The Egyptian army is behind them. The Red Sea's in front of them. A wilderness on the other side of them. And here they are standing at the Red Sea. The diligent attack. Let me show you three things tonight about this. When it come a time for them to move forward, the past haunted them. The past haunted them. Now, I'm not going to take time to read all the verses to you tonight, but when you begin to look at this, you know what they said? They said, Moses, why didn't you just leave us over there in Egypt? Why didn't you just leave us over there? Everything would have been all right if we'd have stayed in Egypt. Now, think about this. The Bible said that the enemy was approaching them from a distance. There were 600 choice chariots. They were delivered. They were delivered, but the enemy was still there. You and I, as we sit here tonight, we are delivered by the grace of God if we're saved. Okay, let me back up and say that again. You and I, as we sit here tonight, we are delivered by the grace of God if we're saved. We have been delivered tonight. Thank God not one hair upon my head will ever enter the flames of hell. I have been delivered from the flames of hell. However, the enemy is still here. The enemy is still here. And what we got to see right here is their past began to haunt them. I thought about this when we think about the past. A lot of times, our past accomplishments will haunt us from moving forward. Well, you know, preacher, 2017, God give us a good year. He let us build that Sunday school wing. And you know, 2018 and 19 was good years. And 2020 was our best year that we've ever saw financially at our church. What about that in the midst of a pandemic? God allowed us to pay that building off in 3 years. And what God's allowed us to do and the way that God has blessed 70,000 and close to 20,000 in a building account and again in our missions account. And we don't know, we owe less than 20,000 on the new truck that we just bought in October, the church bought for me. And boy, we can look back at all of that and we can say, man, we've done great. God has blessed us. There's no need to look at plans in our missions account, and we don't know, we owe less than $20,000 on the new truck that we just bought in October, the church bought for me. And boy, we can look back at all of that and we can say, man, we've done great. God has blessed us. There's no need to look at plans on a new auditorium. There's no need to try to expand anything. We're the best we've ever been. Don't allow the past to haunt us in moving forward in the future. Their past accomplishments did. Can I say this to you? It's real comfortable. It's real comfortable right now. But comfort is to use our life and you know what? Those teenagers never dreamed last night yesterday that they would have been a blessing to a missionary from Mississippi on Round Peak Church. And you know what? Those teenagers never dreamed last night yesterday that they would have been a blessing to a missionary from Mississippi on Round Peak Church Road. They never dreamed that they would have been a blessing to that family. But here they said in our service tonight, let me tell you the reason why. Because they was a blessing to that family. I want to say something to you tonight. You'll begin to be used by God. God will begin to use your life and do something with you. And you know what the stinking devil will do? He'll crawl up on your back. And when he gets on your back, here's exactly what he'll do. He'll say, you can't do that. You can't go do devotions. Hey, he's already told me and what I'm going to deal with tomorrow night. He's already told me, who are you to go do devotions with those young people? Your past is this and your past is that, and you messed up here and you messed up there, and here's what I had to end up telling him, do what I'm doing. A lot of times we say that we are a nobody, and I understand what we're saying, but hear me and hear me well. Understand what we're saying, but hear me and hear me well. I'm a child of the King tonight. I've got royal blood in my veins tonight. I'm an ambassador from a fallen country. Don't allow the past to haunt us in moving forward. In moving forward, they allowed the past to haunt them. Even though the enemy is still there, he is raging. He will rage. Let me tell you the reason that he rages is because he knows his days are numbered. He knows it will not be long that he's going to be cast into the lake of fire to burn for eternity, and I'm going to shout when it happens. The enemy was still there. The enemy was still there. Maybe their minds, in their minds was the thoughts of, at least when we were Pharaoh's servants, we didn't have to worry about him pursuing us and attempting to kill us. I want to say something to you. If I'm not doing much for God, I don't have to worry much about the devil. You say, well, preacher, the devil hadn't fought me in 2 years. Well, I wouldn't tell nobody that. I wouldn't tell nobody that. Let me tell you the reason why. You know what you're saying? Evidently, you and him's pretty good friends. Evidently, you ain't doing much for God, because I'm going to tell you something. The more you do for God, the more you read your Bible, the more you attempt to serve God, the more the devil will fight you. I thought about this, the past haunted them, but watch this. The pursuit they thought would hurt them. Look what the Bible said in verse number 11. The Bible said this, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us from out of Egypt? They thought the pursuit would hurt them. They thought that the enemy would destroy them. Let me tell you what the devil used in this pursuit. He used one little word that's called fear. He caused them to be afraid. Here's what the Bible said in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If we're not careful, we'll get our eyes on the enemy and his pursuit to destroy us. His pursuit to destroy us. You remember? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We know what he wants to do to us. We know what he wants to do to our children. The pursuit, they thought, would hurt them. I want to say something to you tonight. And you may disagree with me right here, and if you do, that's all right. I'm not going to argue the fact with you. The only way the devil can put his hands on me is if God allows him to. I'm going to preach here in a few weeks in Kannapolis, North Carolina, at Piedmont Baptist Church. And if the Lord doesn't change my mind, I'm going to preach one of my daddy's old messages from years ago that I've been working on. And he's got a message out of the book of Job that he preached years ago on some things the devil found when he got to Job's house. And let me tell you one of the things the devil found when he got to Job's house. He found a hedge that cannot be penetrated. He found a hedge that cannot be penetrated. He got down there at Job's house, and you know what he said? He said, I've been walking to and fro in the earth. I'm looking for somebody to jump on. And God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? And the devil said, no, you put a hedge around him. I can't get in there. And you know what God done? God allowed the devil in Job's hedge. And he told him, said, you can touch everything he has, but don't touch him. And then again, he let him in the second time and allowed him to touch Job, but not kill him. Only the devil can do to me what God allows him to do to me, or watch this, I allow him to do to me. There is a hedge there, and I can't allow the devil into my hedge, and I can't allow the devil to destroy me. But hear me and hear me well. Either God has to let him or I have to let him. And the devil will use that fear tactic in our mind. They thought the pursuit would hurt them that day. But hear me and hear me well. Back years prior to this, God had already promised them Canaan's land. It was already theirs to possess. If they would just take it. If they would just take it. So I see this number one tonight. The past haunted them. They thought the pursuit would hurt them. And again, I want to say to you, fear is not of God. fear is not of God. Fear is not, I fear God in a respectful manner. But fear is not of God. The past haunted them. They thought the pursuit would hurt them. But then I want you to see this, number three tonight, and I'll be done. The present harassed them. The present harassed them. With every wave that crashed on the shore and every sound of the enemy, all they could see was the frailty of their failure. All they could see was where they was failing. The present seemed to give no way out. The present seemed there was no way out. When all they had to do, watch this, was go and realize that the same cloud that brought them out of Egypt was the same cloud that was still leading them, that was still leading, it was the same cloud that went behind them and made it darkness for Pharaoh and his army that they couldn't go, but made daylight for them to cross the Red Sea. The present harassed them. You know, a lot of times in our life, we get to that present moment and we wonder, what in the world is God doing? You know, I thought about this. Come start playing real softly, Miss Tanya. I thought about this. What would I have done that day? You know, we can all say, man, I tell you what, I'd have been up there with Moses leading the charge, praise God. At least he was getting fed in Egypt, they thought. At least they wasn't getting killed over there. Now the enemy's pursuing them. He's used the tactic of fear. And now this very present moment is harassing them on what they're going to do. Here's what I thought about. I thought about the disciples when Jesus told them to get into the ship and to go to the other side. Jesus commanded them to get into the ship and go to the other side. The Bible said this, that he went apart in the mountain to pray. And in the fourth watch of the night, the darkest moments of the night, in the fourth watch of the night, that storm began to rage. They thought they was going to die. I'm talking about the present will harass you. Why am I here? What is God doing right now? They thought they was going to die. They thought they was going to die. And all of a sudden, they thought a ghost was walking on the water. But Jesus spake. And when Jesus spake, they knew exactly who it was. Peter, being bold, says, Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto thee on the water. And you know what Jesus done? Jesus told him he could get out of the boat. But if Peter would have just stayed in the boat, he wouldn't have gotten the mess that he was in. A lot of times, and I've used it before as an illustration of somebody doing the impossible, but I want you to hear me right here tonight. God never told Peter to get out of the boat to begin with. God told Peter to get in the boat and go to the other side. Everybody with me tonight? God told Peter to get into the boat and go to the other side. He didn't tell him to get out of the boat. He told him to get in the boat and go to the other side. And in the midst of fear, he cried out and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto you. And God ends up granting him that wish. You see, sometimes God will allow you to do things and get you in a bigger mess than you was with to begin with. You see, when he was in the boat, at least he was in the boat and wasn't sinking. Come on now, get on board with me. He was in the boat where God told him to get. By his own will, he requested to get out of the boat. And God said, okay, come on then. If you really want to do that, big boy, come on. And you know what he done? He got out of the boat and got in a bigger mess than he was when he was in the boat. In the midst of the darkness, he doubted what God had said in the beginning, because Jesus was God. And Jesus said, get in the boat and go to the other side. When he got out of the boat, he took his eyes off Christ and began to sink and cried out and said, Lord, save me. And God stretched forth his hand and snatched him up, and they got in the boat, and everybody in the boat began to worship the Lord then. If Peter would have just sat still in the boat instead of jumping out of the boat, Christ was coming to the boat to get in the boat to still the storm, because he never stilled the storm until he got in the boat, and he could have worshiped inside the boat. You know what God's told us to do as the church? You know what God has ordained for these days? He's ordained the church. Let me tell you what Christ died for. He died for the church. Amen. The church. If it don't have church on the outside of it, I wouldn't go to it. It's the church that God died for. Matter of fact, I'm pretty dogmatic about it having Baptists on the outside of it myself. It's the church. You know what God told us to do? He told us to get in the boat and go to the other side. And there's times along this way as we're moving forward to go to the other side that it'll get dark and the storm will begin to rage. But I want you to hear me, and I want you to hear me well. Just because it's dark does not mean it's not divine. Can I say that again? Just because it's dark does not mean it's divine. It was dark that day out on the water, but it was still divine because God told them to go there. It was dark that day to the children of Israel, but it was still divine because God was leading them the way. And there's times in our life where the present will harass us. And we'll thank God, where are you at? But if you'll just stay in the boat. I feel like I lost y'all on that right there with Peter. God told him to get in the boat and go to the other side. Go back and read your Bible. It's exactly what God told him to do. Peter, in his own power, requested to do something different. And there's times that God will let you get out of the boat just to show you how much you need the boat and you need him. Just because it's dark don't mean it's not divine. Stay in the boat. And the present harassed them. And they thought, man, we're going to die right here. But you know what ends up happening as we'll continue the story and the series and going forward. God had went nowhere. And Moses stretched out his rod and the waters parted and God took them across on dry ground. It may seem dark right now, but I promise you, just keep moving forward and stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. Hey, look, I don't know why the Lord's brought me right here and settled me for a second. You need the boat and the boat needs you. If you hadn't figured it out, this is the boat, the church. You need the church and the church needs you. You need me and I need you. Now let me just say that again. You need me. Now, okay, I'm going to say it again because I got about 13 that time. You need me. And I need you. Amen. I'll amen my own preaching right there. Let's go forward. Where there is no vision, the people. What do you see for our church in the next 5 years? So preacher, what do you see? You don't want me to tell you. I promise you, I say it this way. I don't see you sitting in here for 5 more years. You say, how much longer? You probably don't want me to say that to you. God's blessing us for a reason. He's not blessing us to sit still, church. He's not blessing our missions program to sit still. I said it this morning. Our missions makes no sense. But that's the way Faith Promise Missions is. It makes no sense. I say, we'll give away thousands of dollars a month extra. I say, Miss Stephanie, how's that missions account? Well, preacher, that's still the same amount in there. I don't understand how you can give $10,000 away out of it some months and it still grow. You tell what, it's God's stamp of approval on us moving forward. Let's go forward tonight. Sunday school teacher, take your class forward. Preachers, let's take our preaching forward. I don't want to stay in the same realm of preaching. I want more glory in my preaching. I want more Holy Ghost in my preaching. I want more substance in my preaching. I want to study more. I want to be the best that I can be for Him.